So I teased it in the last episode of when we are officially launching our Patreon, and many of you figured it out. We are launching on DNA Day, which is April 25th. So this celebrates the anniversary of the discovery of the structure of DNA, at least the publication of the article, and the completion of the first draft of the human genome. So this is a very big landmark year. So by becoming a patron, you can receive benefits like joining our exclusive genetics book movie club, mentorship sessions, even being on an episode of DNA Today. And if you sign up as a patron in the next month, so by May 25th, we're going to throw in an extra physical gift, a piece of DNA Today merch. You can sign up using the link in the show notes or going to patreon.com/DNA Today Podcast. It's our handle across social media. I'm proud of that on the marketing side. So again, we're launching on DNA Day, which is April 25th. So you can celebrate our genetics holiday by becoming one of our first patrons. So again, you can't sign up yet, but on DNA Day, you can. So I really look forward to having our community there and being able to engage with you all so much more. Podcasting can feel very one way sometimes. Love being able to email and meet up with people at conferences, but this is really going to take us to the next level. Are you interested in the rapidly growing field of genetics and want to learn more about clinical genetics, molecular genetics, and laboratory sciences? Then you should check out the Genetic Assistant Online Training Program at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. By taking part in this program, you're going to be joining both national and international learners with the same passion for genetics. Interact directly with your Johns Hopkins instructors and fellow learners throughout the program. Limited spots are available for the summer cohort starting June 5th, 2023. For more information, use the link in our show notes if you're listening to this through a podcast app. You can also access the link at dnatoday.com.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hi, you're listening to DNA Today, a multi-award-winning podcast and radio show where we discover new advances in the world of genetics. From genetic technology like CRISPR to rare diseases to new research, for over a decade, DNA Today has brought you the voices of leaders in genetics in over 200 episodes. For the past 3 years, DNA Today has won the People's Choice Best Science in Medicine Podcast Award. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm a certified genetic counselor and your host. As a prenatal genetic counselor, I'm very intrigued to learn all about new advances in non-invasive prenatal screening, or NIPS. So to see what's new at-home NIPS, I'm joined by experts from Juno Diagnostics. Katie Sagasser is the Director of Genetic Counseling at Juno Diagnostics. Prior to joining Juno DX, Katie was an assistant professor of gynecology and obstetrics in the Division of Maternal-Fetal Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Allison Rogers is double board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology and infertility. Ooh, that's a sentence right there, my goodness. She's currently the director of education at Fertility Centers of Illinois, a U.S. fertility practice. Additionally, she serves on the clinical advisory board for Juno Diagnostics. You may recognize Dr. Rogers from TikTok and Instagram, where she shares fertility education with more than 1.3 million followers, at least at the time of this recording. It'll probably be more by the time this comes out, but thank you both so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kira.
So I was first intrigued by Juno Diagnostics, started seeing it on my LinkedIn because Katie and I have been connected for a while, and I'm an admirer from your talks at NSGC, where I sat right here, the virtual stuff, and taking notes on carrier screening and different things you're talking about. I'm like, Katie is so well-spoken. So, you know, I saw you sharing Juno on your feed, and I was intrigued because of the founders. And they're the same experts who developed the first NIPS at Sequenome over a decade ago, so kind of similar time of when DNA Today started. And the team has collectively performed, get this, listeners, over 500,000 non-invasive prenatal tests. So could you share a little bit, maybe, Katie, about what inspired the founders to start Juno and what your goal and mission is?
Sure. So as you mentioned, our founders here at Juno, they have a vast amount of experience in cell-free DNA screening technology, specifically as it pertains to non-invasive prenatal screening for aneuploidy. And so they created the Maternity 21 test at Sequenome in 2011. That was when it was commercially launched. So with Sequenome, the way that they tell their story, their goal was to really provide a screening level alternative to CBS and amniocentesis. And with the acquisition of Sequenome to LabCorp in 2017, the founders said, well, we feel like we've pretty well accomplished this goal. At that point in time, there was a much higher uptake of NIPS than in 2011 when it first came out. And we're starting to see some of the papers about, look, this screen works really well, even in average risk populations. So they felt as though the era of NIPS was here to stay, but started asking themselves, why is it that not everybody has access to this technology? And so after the acquisition of Sequenome to LabCorp, that's when Juno Diagnostics was founded, really with the mission of, we're not going to try to reinvent the wheel with non-invasive prenatal screening. Instead, we want to try to provide a solution for getting this technology out to as many people who could possibly benefit from it. So the way I think about it is, whereas the Maternity 21 test was trying to provide a screening level alternative to CVS and Amnio, with Juno and the Hazel non-invasive prenatal screening test, we're really trying to make it so nobody is faced with only having access to first trimester screening or only a quad screen. They should have everything they need at their fingertips, literally, with the Juno, Hazel, and NIPS.
And I imagine when you were hearing this, you know, at the time you were working at world-renowned institution that I mentioned, Johns Hopkins, was this some of the aspects that drew you to say, I want to make a, you know, not career change, you're in genetic counseling, but make a role change and transition into this new role? Did that play a lot of parts of you seeing what kind of impact you could have in this space?
Definitely. So I don't know that there are a whole lot of other GCs or others in the medical field who you see making the transition of deep in academic medicine to, okay, let's go to a startup. But I really enjoyed, among the first wave,
I think. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of folks out there. I just don't know them personally yet. Yeah. So when I was at Hopkins and thinking about my career goals, I realized that I wanted to try to pursue an avenue where I could be a lot more innovative in service delivery for genetic counseling specifically, and also the testing that often either precedes or surrounds genetic counseling. So when I first heard of Juno, which was really like fall 2021, I was so excited because I knew all of the names. The founders of Juno were these people that I semi-idolized from the sidelines of, like, oh my gosh, I've read all of Matthias's papers. Dirk, I know these people. They really know what they're doing. This is something that I've got to get on board with.
So you must have fangirled a little bit during the interviews, then, just like, you know, meeting with some of these people. I can't imagine.
In a very niche, nerdy way, it was
totally
not the same type of fangirling as if I met Beyonce. Like, I don't want Matthias to get it to his head too much.
All right. You know, we'll put them in their place a little bit. How about you, Dr. Rogers? Why were you compelled to join the clinical advisory board for Juno?
I think that it's so innovative to be able to do a home test and be able to get the same level of clinical information that you would at a provider. We know that not everybody has the access to a provider early enough in pregnancy, just because of either financial or geographic restraints that are limiting their ability to get that care. And I think that especially in the setting of, you know, a post Roe v. Wade world, there's a lot of people whose physicians even, you know, we were just on a meeting about it, and physicians in certain areas aren't even able to really offer some of this testing anymore, because what are they going to do with the results? They're not able to offer any, they're not allowed to talk about it. And so having a potentially patient-initiated early screen really benefits everybody. And I will tell you, similar to Katie, when I was learning about sort of the technology and science, I was like mind blown that something so amazing is now available. I think that, you know, I mean, I know I'm getting older, but I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You know, I did my residency from 2004 to 2008. I mean, I know it was a while ago, but not that long ago that we were like, you know, the thought of even doing a blood test to be able to look at fetal DNA was mind-blowing. To be able to do a finger prick at home and be able to know if your baby, you know, is euploid is, you know, still, I mean, as early, obviously, you know, the, you know, Birch test, which is just looking at sex, is as available as early as 7 weeks.
I was really surprised when I saw that. I have to say, I was like, 7 weeks? Did I read that right?
You did.
And a lot of times I'm, as a fertility specialist, discharging my patients around 7, 8 weeks and offering this test to them as, you know, because a lot of them don't know the gender. Some of them do, certainly, who've done pre-implantation genetic testing for aneuploidy. But then also to do the Hazel test, which is looking at sort of the more of the chromosomes, right? Not just sex chromosomes. To be able to do that at 9 weeks. I mean, the technology is just so impressive that just, you know, a couple of drops of blood that you poke your finger at home is enough to tell you, you know, about the health of your child. It's phenomenal technology.
Yeah. And let's get into that a little bit, because having this be an at-home approach to sample collection for NIPS, I mean, as far as I know, you guys are the only ones doing this where you only require a couple, you know, a few drops of blood from a finger stick. Everything else, even like at home, like requires a mobile phlebotomist. Like, you know, there's different things out there, but this is what makes you guys really unique in terms of what I've seen in the market. How is this increasing accessibility? What have you guys seen so far just from launch?
Yeah, well, remember, we're still a very, very young company. And so our Birch, our fetal sex test, that was actually only launched this past October. So I think it was just shortly before, Kira, we ran into each other at NSGC in Nashville. And our Hazel non-invasive prenatal screening test, that was launched in mid-November. So it's still really, really early, but we've been hearing overwhelmingly positive feedback, particularly about what you just mentioned, the fact that we're the only ones that can offer these two sort of complementary tests through the convenience of an at-home sample collection. So people can go on and do their, like, totally just for fun, not medical, just recreational fetal sex test at 7 weeks because they want to find out, are they having a boy or a girl? It helps them bond with their baby. Go for it. They can do that. And then they also can use us for the Hazel NIPS if they want to go a step further and look at some of these chromosome conditions that could impact the health of their baby. So we're just really excited to be able to offer this service to people who want to be able to know, and in a way that gives them a lot more autonomy over the process than what's been offered in the past. No coordinating phlebotomists to come to the house, no having to go to Quest or LabCorp and get another blood draw done, no having to rearrange your work schedule because your doctor's appointment is taking later than you thought it would because you're staying for a blood draw. All of those kind of like headaches can be avoided by an at-home sample collection.
Yeah, you guys make it easy, streamline with it, and it's just so impressive that you're able to perform this clinical testing on just a few drops of blood. And we're going to have a bunch of links in the show notes, specifically one study that Katie, we were talking about today. And so it's just great to look at. And so we've talked about the two tests. Hazel looks at, you know, the common trisomies, and Birch is the sex test there to find out sex of baby. So to talk about Birch for a moment, as we said, you can start by collecting these at 7 weeks of pregnancy onwards. So looking at the medical, the clinical side in the laboratory, are you guys just looking for presence of Y chromosome? What are you actually looking at in the lab in terms of what's in that sample?
Yeah, great question. So I imagine what you're also asking is, can you tell if they are sex chromosome aneuploidies from the birth
test. You know my brain, Katie. Both prenatal genetic counselors. You knew exactly where I was headed. Yes.
Like, yeah, I don't think like your average Joe would be asking this, but yeah. So
but with it's our birth test.
Right. We're just looking for a presence or absence of Y chromosome. So it really is something that is, like I mentioned, recreational in nature. It's just for fun. And, you know, something that in the process of us doing a lot of market research, we've learned there's a huge demand for this from folks all over the country. People are excited to have this opportunity to bond with their baby. And part of our sort of like ethos and mission at Juno is, look, people who are carrying pregnancies, people with the capacity to become pregnant, like, we are autonomous and able to make decisions for ourselves, and we deserve to have access to the information that we want to have. And so if that's something as simple as, hey, I want to know the sex of my baby, like, all right, we're happy to help.
Yeah, I hear from so many patients that when I'm telling them the sex of the baby on the phone, they're like, wow, it feels so real now. I can picture this now. And so, you know, I think it can be a very exciting time in a pregnancy to learn that information if that's something that you are learning during pregnancy and not waiting for delivery. So I think that is really exciting there. And that the way you have it set up is people in really remote areas can take advantage of this because they don't need a mobile phlebotomist to come to their house. So I just see this exploding in terms of all the people that now have access to this. If you're applying to genetic counseling grad schools in the near future, I highly recommend checking out Sarah Lawrence's Why Genetic Counseling Wednesday Summer Series. This is the fourth year Sarah Lawrence will be hosting this series, where you can interact through Zoom with genetic counselors from different specialties for 2 hours every Wednesday in June. It actually kicks off on Wednesday, May 31st at noon Eastern. As many of you know, I graduated from Sarah Lawrence's program 3 years ago, and this series was a fun way to interact with prospective genetic counseling students, and I'm really looking forward to meeting more of you during this series. Myself and fellow genetic counselors will share about our roles and answer your questions live. Not only will you hear from GCs in a variety of specialties, you'll also have the opportunity to discuss ethical and social implications of genomic medicine, engage with current students, and learn about the exciting present and projected future of the profession. Anyone who attends all 5 will earn a certificate of completion and receive an application fee waiver for the grad program in the fall. Register now before we are fully booked. Go to slc.edu/DNA today. Again, that's slc.edu/DNA today to be part of this interactive genetic counseling experience. Are you seeking a position as a genetic assistant or want to bolster your resume for genetic counseling grad school applications? People in these vital roles aid with clinical and research patient communication, data entry, genetic testing coordination, and administrative tasks. Therefore, training is key. We recommend the Genetic Assistant Online Training Program at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Be part of a cohort learning the knowledge and skills necessary to be a genetic assistant, or buy a seat for your employees who need job training. This program consists of 2 10-week instructor-led courses. All you need is basic understanding of science, particularly biology. At the successful completion of the program, learners will receive a certificate of completion from the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and the McCusick-Nathans Department of Genetic Medicine. Applications are open now for the summer cohort, which starts June 5th, 2023. Don't wait. Check out the Genetic Assistant Online Training Program at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine now. Click the link in the show notes for this episode for more information. You can also access that link via the blog post for this episode, available at dnatoday.com. So talking about these 2 tests, they are looking at, you know, one's looking at the sex, that's Birch, and Hazel is looking at common trisomies. So for that test, what are the common trisomies that we're looking at for this test?
So Hazel takes a look at trisomy 21, trisomy 18, and trisomy 13. Right now, all of the samples will also test for the sex of the pregnancy, and you have the option to either like open that up and see the sex of the baby, or you can keep it unopened. We might change that feature as we grow and learn more about what our patients want, what our provider allies want, if that's something that's really more of a like opt-in element instead of opt out, but that is the basic Hazel experience right now. Trisomy 21, Trisomy 18, Trisomy 13, and fetal sex. We do have a Hazel Plus option, which includes screening for sex chromosome aneuploidies in addition to everything that I just listed. So we're not really trying to reinvent the wheel, as I said, when it comes to what we're screening for with NIPS. There's lots and lots of evidence from now a decade's worth of research on how well does this screening technology work and what are the kinds of conditions that you're commonly seeing in early pregnancy and delivery. So Juno's goal is not to put out a product that tests for a one in a million kind of condition or something that's ultra rare. Instead, we want to take more of a public health approach to this problem of, look, not everybody has access to this technology that ACOG and ACMG are very, very clear. Look, everybody should be offered the opportunity to have this if they want it. So that's the problem that we're trying to fix.
And both organizations, at least ACOG, I know, remember, it was right as I started my job. So August of 2020 is when they said that. I mean, we're coming up on almost 3 years of that statement.
Yeah.
And it's just great that now you're able to offer this. Dr. Rogers, do you see this as being just really a great tool for healthcare providers to use, especially that they could, you know, some people being able to do remote telehealth as that's become more and more popular, and then say, oh, we're just going to order this test for you? Like, how do you see this really just changing for not just patients, but providers too?
So I think that's such a good point. I would say that, yes, for the telehealth appointments and for the times mm-hmm. where we're having patients who are more remote, certainly, but also patients who are in your doctor's office, maybe you don't have a phlebotomist right in your office, mm-hmm. right?
Or they're at lunch. You don't want to wait an hour. That happens.
Yeah.
Or, right. So for the times where you want to help patients right then and there, I would also say there are, you know, a considerable percentage of patients who might not have easy access to vasculature or veins that a normal phlebotomist could get. And so for these patients, doing a finger poke, you know, really is helpful. So for example, patients who have had prior chemotherapy or patients who've had prior substance abuse issues, I think these are patients who had said they're very hard stick. It can be very traumatic for them. And to be able to offer this right in your office, to be able to offer this without a phlebotomist, and patients can collect it on their own, it is so straightforward. And I will tell you, because I am also initially, when I was learning about everything, kind of skeptical about at-home tests, I was blown away at the level of sophistication and testing. Obviously, if you know the founders of this company, you know that they are, you know, incredibly skilled scientists. But to be able to take a drop of blood and be able to tell you what's going on with your child, who is, like, you know, the size of an almond, is mind-blowing. And I was so blown away with the data and the ability to collect this data in such a reliable way with just a finger poke at such an early stage, right? I think that the earlier we can get patients information about the health of their pregnancy, the earlier they then are able to make decisions about their health, especially in this time where people may need to travel to get the care they need to make decisions about their pregnancy.
Yeah, I think that's a very timely point in terms of what we're seeing changing with legislation, and things are constantly changing. It can be challenging to keep up. And, you know, I really want to recognize, like, you guys have to keep up with multiple states because of, you know, just the nature of your jobs and everything. I mean, Dr. Rogers, you're you know, based in Illinois, but you're clearly working with patients that are traveling from other states. And, and so time is of the essence. Like, just like we talk about in cancer situations of, okay, we want to get results right away because we want to know what type of surgery we're doing. You know, timing is really important in pregnancy because, especially as Dr. Rogers is bringing up, that we may need to travel in order to have testing performed or different procedures performed, like termination, because that may not be legal in someone's state of residence. So the earlier we can learn this information, the better, which is why, yeah, it really is remarkable. You think about it, it's like everything's just getting smaller and smaller. You know, we used to require a couple tubes of blood. Now it's one, and now you guys can do it with just a couple droplets. So it really is just amazing to look at. And I want to make sure I'm getting this right, that Healthcare providers can order it for a patient, and patients can order it for themselves. Did I get that right?
We phrase it slightly differently, but you've got the gist of it. So our physician or provider partners, all they have to do is reach out, support@junodx.com, shoot us an email, and we can get you set up for an ordering provider account. Patients can themselves request a test. So they're not actually the ones placing the order in terms of like, this is my order for a medical screening test, but they place a like purchase order because they go online, they request the test, pay for it, and that request is reviewed by some of our physician partners. That they go through and make sure, okay, this person, like they are far enough along in their pregnancy to have the screening test. They've watched our informed consent material, and they can proceed with the screening at that point in time.
So a physician assisted is more of a correct term. Then.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm sure the terminology of like patient initiated, provider mediated is one that's familiar to you. And that's really a very similar model here. You know, if we can just really quick, I'm really glad that you brought up the whole issue of like being sensitive to the timing of everything, because people need to know as early as possible to make decisions about testing and like, would they consider terminating a pregnancy? And I just want to put out there in the open that it's not always even about would I or wouldn't I continue a pregnancy, right? I'm sure we've all had patients who were very, very clear from the onset of, look, this information is not going to change whether I have my baby. And it's the responsibility of the provider, whether that's the genetic counselor, MFM, OB, whoever it is, the team, to help the patient understand, well, there might be elements of your care that are going to change depending on what the results are, right? Like even if you go home with the baby in your arms, no matter what, we still have to plan for things like in the third 100%. Trimester, how frequently are we doing Dopplers? Where are you going to deliver? Are there specialists we need to connect you with? So advanced information is so helpful for much more than just would I continue my pregnancy or not.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And thank you for bringing that up, Katie, because there's so many patients that I've just had in the last few years that they have said from the start and they continue with, you know, termination is not on the table for me. And if I found out that this pregnancy has a higher chance of having a genetic condition, maybe I want to know that ahead of time so that I can start planning to have a child with that condition and start learning more about the community around them and so many other facets of that. And their care might change. We might be doing a fetal echocardiogram at 22 weeks versus not doing one. So there's so many pieces of why someone should be thinking about testing as an option and screening as an option more than just that. I think a lot of people, their knee-jerk reaction is, oh, well, termination, that's really the only reason to be doing this. And that's really not the case. So I think the three of us have seen a lot of that.
Yes, absolutely. And knowledge is power, right? And I think exactly what you're saying, you imagine a situation where maybe a fetus is at higher risk for a cardiac condition, a whatever other kind of gastrointestinal, whatever, you can get connected with those specialists and determine what care your baby needs now. And that really helps you take care of that baby when it comes the best you can.
If we're talking about somebody who is, you know, struggling to have reasonable access to an OBGYN or a phlebotomist, maybe struggling is not the right word, but like someone who they live in a really rural area or just a part of the United States where there's not an MFM on every corner like there might be in downtown Chicago or downtown Baltimore where I lived. But these really, really, really rural areas, if we already know that access to phlebotomy might be an issue, imagine how much more so access to like a fetal therapy specialist might be, or access to a neonatal cardiovascular surgeon, right? So I think that technology like Juno's Hazel NIPS is helping to best serve those patients who are really going to need much more individualized care later on down the road. That way we can all kind of be on the same page about advanced planning and the way to do that the most intentionally.
Right. And giving them that time to be able to say, okay, I might need to move somewhere for a couple months to get the care I need. And so being able to provide that information to them sooner is really helpful. Like finances might need to be different. I mean, there's so many things that is a ripple effect from doing this testing for some people. Most people will do this test, have normal results, and move on.
Exactly.
So we're talking about the minority of patients that are doing this, but the reason they're doing this is because there could be information that is valuable to know at this point. And wanted to highlight too that, you know, Dr. Rogers mentioned that, oh, first time you heard like at-home testing, you're like, I don't know about this, but it is clinical grade testing. And I just wanted to mention that for people thinking like, oh, this is different
Thank
from
you.
What a genetic counselor is going to order. If you come and sit in my office, it's the same technology. It's the same testing. So Katie, I don't know if there was anything else really to add to that, any other like statistics or anything, but just wanted to make sure that point got across.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple things that I would add to that. So Juno's laboratory here in San Diego, we are a CLIA laboratory. We hold ourselves to the absolute highest standards when it comes to laboratory operating procedures. So although the collection of your blood sample is done at home or really wherever is convenient for you to do it in a place that you can, you know, wash your hands and sterilize your finger with an alcohol pad and stay away from males. The actual testing itself, the NIPS assay, that's done in a CLIA lab. So there definitely should be peace of mind with knowing, all right, it's the sample collection here that's the game changer in terms of convenience. It's not that you're skimping on any type of quality with the test itself. Statistics wise, you're still looking at a test that has 99% sensitivity and 99% specificity for the conditions that we're testing for. Again, with our founders and, you know, executives coming from a company like Sequinome, we're not going to put something on the market that we're not proud of its quality. And we don't think that it's just as good, if not better than the competitors out there. No shortcuts here.
No, definitely not. And I think we've kind of come full circle there of just, you know, my first impression of the company being very favorable because of that with the founders and that Katie mm-hmm. was involved. I was like, if she's moving from Johns Hopkins and joining this, it's got to be for a good reason.
I think that one of the things I'm most excited about with the company in general is just the application that we can see of this technology towards other potential uses in the future. Our proprietary device, the Juno DX sample collection device, is so amazing in the fact that literally in your hands, you are able to have plasma isolated from the blood sample. And so that's sort of like the key
that.
To
wow.
this whole. Yeah, yeah. So it is just a finger prick, couple drops of blood, but it's not that you ship in the tube of blood to Juno. It's that you put it on the device. So on our website, you might see this little purple looking mechanism. I can make sure you have some pictures of it later. But basically, you drip the blood onto the collection pad, and right away, you are able to isolate the plasma from that blood sample. So this is just so cool to think about as we grow and expand and look out towards other areas of healthcare that this would be really useful for. I just can't wait to see what happens next.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even think in the moment what that could be used for, but many things. I mean, just the technology in itself. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like having a little lab shipped to you. That's so cool.
It's kind of like having a little centrifuge. Like, it's the whole lab.
Right, it's not a whole lab.
By
that
any
that
stretch
would be
of the
wild.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, we should be super clear. Like, there's no sequencing that's happening in your house, and there's no, like, DNA library prep. But as far as, like, all right, if you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, if you look at a sample of blood and the different, like, blood part components, what is the part that has the cell-free DNA pieces in it? It's the plasma. So what do we need to try to isolate ASAP? It's the plasma.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's such a minimal amount of blood that you can get so much information from, it's not, you know, 50 milliliters. You know, I feel like people come to my office and like we're drawing 10 tubes of blood at 5 to 10 milliliters a piece or whatever, right? I mean, this is a couple drops.
Yeah, our little micro pipette that collects the, when you do the finger prick, I think it holds 100 microliters. So, wait, no.
That's like nothing.
I'll make sure that you know how much it is. Sure, it's very
yeah,
small.
But that's very, very tiny. Yeah, when you think about like a serving of alcohol, like a shot is 40 milliliters. So to put that into perspective, like we're talking like way less than that. So that is remarkable. Yeah. And a standard blood draw for NIPS is 10 milliliters. Some labs require two of those tubes, but most require one. So the fact that you're even going way less than that is really, really remarkable.
No, it is really super, super duper small. I know a lot of
nanotechnology
people in like the biotech. Yeah. I think a lot of people in the biotech world, understandably, there can be some skepticism when they hear like, oh, a drop of blood or like just a finger prick. But sure. We have published data now.
A bunch is in the show notes.
And is really exciting. Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on and nerding out with me about this. I just can't wait to see, because you guys launched so recently, like I can't wait to see, you know, a few years from now, just the impact you've had at that point, because you're already having an impact. But just as time goes on, just more and more people being able to use Hazel and Birch over at Juno. So thank you both so much for coming on and just sharing so much about this. I mean, there's just so many advancements in prenatal genetics, and this is definitely one of them.
So exciting.
Thanks so much for inviting us, Kira. I really appreciate it.
Want to become a genetic counselor? Looking for ways to engage with the field and boost your resume for grad school applications? Then you should check out Sarah Lawrence's Why Genetic Counseling Wednesday Summer Series. Every Wednesday this June, plus the last Wednesday in May, Sarah Lawrence is hosting a series where you can interact through Zoom with genetic counselors from different specialties. It kicks off on May 31st. You can sign up at slc.edu/DNA today. Again, visit slc.edu/DNA today to register to level up your resume for applications in the fall. As many of you know, through podcasting, I've become an entrepreneur, including consulting for other podcasts. Since I don't have a business degree, I've learned a lot through podcasts like Porch Talks. The inspiration to start this show was from the host, Melissa Bradley, who wanted to inform, instruct, and inspire fellow entrepreneurs, especially people who identify as women, people of color, immigrants, veterans, people with disabilities, and folks in the LGBTQIA+ community, which drew me initially. So if you're thinking about starting a business or just love hearing stories about how businesses grow, Porch Talks is for you. Search Porch Talks in your podcast player or use the links in the show notes to start listening. For more information about today's episode, visit dnatoday.com, where you can also stream all 200 plus episodes of the show, including video versions of interviews recorded in 2021 or later. Any questions, episode ideas, guest pitches, or sponsor inquiries can be sent into info@dnatoday.com. Be sure to follow us on social media, especially so you don't miss a giveaway. We are at DNA Today Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and more. Please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This truly helps us climb the charts and allow more genetic nerds like yourself to find the show. Here's a bonus. If you do and send us a screenshot, I'll give you a shout out on the show. DNA Today is created, hosted, and produced by myself, Kira Dineen. Our team includes communications lead, Corinne Merlino, video lead, Amanda Andrioli, outreach intern, Sonia Tanaker, social media intern, Kajal Patel, and graphic designer, Ashlyn Anokian. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made